Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now the shot clock is turned off. And Ball Arena ready to explode. The first finals game in franchise history is a rousing success. Denver's 9-0 at home in the playoffs. They take game one. Miami loses a game one for the first time in these playoffs. The previous three series, they took game one on the road each time. Not the case here in the finals. Fans don't want to leave. They've waited 47 years to host this event. Now what a start to their first finals appearance.
That's how it ended in Denver last night. Game one goes to the Nuggets. And I got to tell you, folks, that game upset me more than it should have. And you know me, I'm a Denver guy. I love Nikola Jokic. Yeah, I like Jamal Murray.
Is it because Jokic only took five shots through the first three quarters?
No, it wasn't that.
I need more from my man.
I wanted, he ended up with a final line there. But really what was upsetting and what should be upsetting to everybody is the way the Miami Heat played, the way Jimmy Butler played, the way Max Strus played, the way basically everybody on the entire team,
Caleb
other than
Martin.
Bam Adebayo, Caleb Martin, probably the worst defender. I mean, my God. Talk about a deal with the devil. But you know what really set me off the most was Jimmy Butler, and not even so much that he had a bad game. He had bad games against the Celtics. He had several bad games against the Celtics. Game three, he didn't do anything. He had 16 points on 13 shots. You lost that game by 30 points almost. You didn't get much from him in game five. He had 14 points in game five on 10 shots. Even in game seven, 28 points on 28 shots. That is not very good. He was not superhuman like he was in the first round against Milwaukee before he got hurt and he was putting up 100 points in two games. He didn't do that against you. He had one very good game. Game one, he was very good. He had 35 points on 25 shots. They won the game. That was his best game. By far. And then the rest of the series, he was good. Not, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't great. And I sort of figured, like, if you get Miami and Jimmy Butler doesn't play great, you should kill that team, right? Like, if Butler's not playing great, if he's not playing out of his mind, and you get all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals and you get less than 100% of Jimmy Butler, and you can't beat that team, you couldn't even win one out of the first three games against that team. That's unbelievable. And just really further cements what a horrific failure this was for the Celtics here. And Butler was probably his worst game he's played in the entire playoffs in that game last night. He was horrific. But so was Caleb Martin, so was Max Strus, so was everybody else. You didn't get beat by Jimmy Butler. You got beat by all those other guys. Like, that's the thing about this loss that really isn't going away. You didn't get beat by All-NBA Jimmy Butler. You got beat by Caleb Martin. You got beat by Gabe Vincent, you know. Even Bam didn't play all that well. You got beat by the secondary and even the third guys on
even
that team.
Duncan Robinson having well-timed threes.
Robinson.
Like, it's, so Caleb Martin went 1-for-7 last night. Overall, they shot 13-for-39 from behind the three-point line. I kind of thought that the things that stood out to me about the Heat against Denver, number one, just the most obvious thing, the size. The size differential, it's not just Jokic, it's the way that they were using Aaron Gordon, the Nuggets, to start off the game. And Aaron Gordon, I think he went 6-for-8 to
He's
start.
Good.
He looked, I mean, that they just put him in the paint and he looked like a
double big. Imagine that.
I know, exactly. That's exactly where my mind went. But with Aaron Gordon, like, the game that he was playing looked like it was out of 1995. but it worked against the Heat. And they didn't even, I don't think they even really went into the zone until Jokic was on the bench. I'm not always great at telling exactly when they're moving in and out, mm-hmm. but I thought that's what it was. They just looked so little. And so they looked like they were kind of playing the Celtics game. Like the game that they baited the Celtics into playing, they started playing themselves on offense, where they were chucking these threes and then having the ball swing back really quickly the other way and, you know, putting the pressure on their defense and not being able to live up to it. And that's just a really hard way to play when Caleb Martin is 1-for-7, Duncan Robinson is 1-for-6, Max Strus is 0-for-10. Like, why couldn't they see this Heat?
I know. Their best player was Haywood Highsmith.
Yeah.
He had a bunch of shots down the stretch. He kept him in that game. That game would have been a Denver Nuggets 20-point blowout if it wasn't for Highsmith, who barely played at all in the Celtics series.
He also had two pickoffs, which jumped out to me because in the last, definitely in game three, but in another game, he picked off Jason Tatum a couple times, and it's like not the hardest thing to do, but he definitely is he's a shifty guy.
The Nuggets' best players were good. You know, Jokic had another triple-double. Murray had 26 and 10. It wasn't an efficient shooting night for him, but it was enough. And the Miami Heat all kind of turned back into pumpkins, except for Bam Adebayo. Adebayo played well. The rest of that team, I thought, looked completely overmatched out there in Denver. Maybe it was the altitude. Maybe it was something else. But it was not good. And I can't help but wonder if maybe the Miami Heat were just maybe feeling themselves a little bit too much after beating the Celtics. Because I'll tell you what, you've been hearing from all these guys. You've been hearing from Duncan Robinson. You've been hearing from Caleb Martin. Max Strus had an Instagram post that Grant Williams liked for some reason about getting cut. Which, first of all, before we hear from those guys, and I do want to play that sound, what are you doing, Grant Williams? Max Strus puts out a Instagram post of, oh, I got cut by the Celtics, and look at me now going to the Eastern Conference Finals, liked by Grant Williams. Grant, he beat you to get there, man. Like, come on. Like, why are you liking that? Don't like that.
He's like, that's lucky you got off this team. Oh, that sounds nice. Where can I get a piece of that action?
One of the worst things you could possibly like on the internet, you know, aside from, like, some other girl's pictures if you're married or whatever. But, like, that's the equivalent. I'd say that's the basketball equivalent of liking your ex-girlfriend's pictures.
That's responding to Celeste, the woman bot.
Don't talk about my bride-to-be. Celeste the ladybot. But that Grant Williams,
the ladybot.
What are you doing? He wants
Fembot.
Out of here,
they prefer Fembot.
He's not expecting to be back, I think, is what's going on with Grant Williams. But even
he's just burning it down now.
Don't you have any pride, you know? Like, they beat you. You're on the team and you don't like the team, fine, Grant, but they beat you. You lost. And you're liking his post. Like, what's the matter with you?
He knows that people are gonna pick up on that. He knows that.
It just makes him look weak, you know? Like, it makes him look like one of those NBA players that just wants to be friends with everybody and will like the post and don't care. And I lose.
Yeah, it's also Max
Strus.
It's not like you're liking Jimmy Butler's post,
right?
Or like you're liking Kevin Durant's post. It's Max Strus.
Yeah, and I think it's lame when people do that just because guys are big stars, too. I don't like when that happens either. I hated the Celtics buddying up to everybody like that and not wanting to challenge anyone. That annoys me about this team, and I think that's still a lingering problem, by the way. But you didn't see the Heat rise to the occasion at all last night. They were completely overmatched, and outside of, you know, Bam and maybe a little bit of Kyle Lowry, I feel like Lowry had a couple of shots. But other than that, the Heat were nothing, really. I mean, they were nothing out there, and that is upsetting. In case you missed it, Duncan Robinson, you remember when he was running back down the court doing the Hulk Hogan ears?
Yeah.
He explained what that was all about. I believe this was on the Old Man and the Three.
Yeah, with J.J. Redick.
With J.J. Redick, super cool guy. Let's hear that.
There's a little bit of an internal conflict, right? Because it's like, you know, you're playing on the floor that you grew up, you know, being fortunate enough to go to some games on and, you know, grew up in Celtics country, all this stuff. So, like, you have the idea you want to do it. But, like, I have to be relevant enough in the game to like warrant that. And I really towed the line on that because like, ideally you score like 20 plus, and then you're doing it and you have a little bit more validity. I mean, for my 10th point on like a back cut layup, like not really what I envisioned, but I don't know how this happened. It's maybe somebody that I went to high school with or something, because I still have the same number from when I was in high school. My number got put in a group
text. All right, you know what? Stop this. I don't care, Duncan Robinson. Shut up. He was in a group text. Someone got his number in a group text, and they were sending him a bunch of Kurt Schilling memes, basically. And he cannot wait to tell J.J. Redick, which, by the way, a couple of one-dimensional stiffs and those two guys talking to each other. There's a Spider-Man meme for you right there. Those two guys having a chat. Anyway, he was getting a bunch of Kurt Schilling memes and, you know, all this stuff in his group text, and so that's why he decided he was going to put on a little show for the Boston crowd. And he's also a New Hampshire guy, right?
I thought it was so douchey. In the moment, like, I understand they were kicking Boston's ass, but I thought it was such a bad look. There were some people out there who got their feathers all ruffled because when Jason Tatum threw up the 51.
Oh, like, yeah, right.
You know, Bird would never. It's like, okay.
Oh, yes, the very humble Larry Bird who never talks smack to anyone, right?
Put his finger up in the last shot of the three-point contest. That guy, exactly. No, stop.
But it's like, it's also, you know.
Larry Bird played a whole game left-handed once.
Bird, Tatum, Curry. These guys can have their celebrations. With the fact that Duncan Robinson is going through that game going, have I been good enough to taunt the crowd yet? It's so dorky.
He is a dork.
I don't like it at all.
And his twin brother, Jeff Howe, was probably very embarrassed too.
I don't know. I kind of, because in the moment, I thought it looked stupid also, considering he had a golden opportunity in game 6 to completely put this team away, and he missed two wide open shots.
Daggers.
Absolutely, yeah. Would have killed the team, and he missed them both. There is a part of me, though, that respects that level of self-awareness to go, I want to do this, but am I in the right position to do it? And he just said, you know what? Screw it. I'm annoyed. I'm going to do it. No, I like it. In the moment, like I said, in the moment, I thought it was stupid, but I still like that he's like, you know what? I'm going to go for it anyways, but still explaining
the
logic. You
appreciate the hesitation, right?
I do. I appreciate the self-awareness.
Sometimes you have to listen to that hesitation.
Nah.
There's a little voice in my head that's saying I shouldn't do this super douchey thing when I'm in my hometown, or at least home region.
The douche on my left shoulder took over. No, go ahead. Go ahead and do it. Go give him the Hulk Hogan ear out there, Duncan. Caleb Martin had some things to say as well. Martin's wasn't so much, you know, when is it the right time to celebrate or whatever. Martin should have been the MVP of that series. We've been over that.
Who's Caleb Martin on with, you remember?
Fat Dan Martin. Levitard and your fat daddy.
That's right. Both of those large people talking with Caleb Martin. And Caleb Martin not only wanted to dance on the Celtics' graves a little bit, he also had a little bit of intel on how to stop Jaylen Brown.
Once Tatum was injured, was the entire game plan to send Jaylen Brown to his left?
I think that was always the game plan.
Always.
I'm not an ambi-turner. I can't turn left.
That was always the game plan. Well, you know what?
Yeah, because they saw it last year.
It worked.
They saw it last year, and they came back out on, like, looking at film.
Yeah.
From the series before, and they're like, he still doesn't go left.
Yeah.
He still can't dribble left.
So the Miami Heat all that happened.
Can we just talk about that for a second?
Sure.
Your second team All-NBA player who's up for a Supermax deal, and everybody's, oh, is he going to get the deal? Is he going to get the contract? Is he not going to get the contract? Can't go left. It's half the court. Like,
yeah,
and other teams know it. It's his reputation now.
It is, and it's not even so much that he couldn't go left last year, and then, you know, it happened again. It's that after he got completely pantsed, you know, with all these turnovers, instead of very publicly working on his handles, he's training like he's a Navy SEAL in the pool with the weights and jumping out of the pool. And it's like, all right, great. You can jump a little higher, I guess. Can you make a free throw? Could you maybe work on free throws this summer? Could you maybe work on dribbling a little bit more this summer instead of this, you know, whatever this thing you're doing, SEAL Team 6 crap in the pool? Like, that would be nice.
Can't turn left.
Like, seriously. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Anyway, Miami Heat, talk all you want. Enjoy that Celtics win all you want, because you did not look great in game one, although I do think they bounced back in game two. We can talk more about that later. 617-779-7937. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about Brad Stevens and his press conference. Gary Washburn had a reaction to it. And Danny Ainge, calling in from Utah, calling in from the Great Salt Lake, talking to Dan Shaughnessy, and he had some thoughts as well. We'll get to all of that right after Trending here with Ryan Garvin.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Jones and Mego with Arcane.
All right, ladies and jelly spoons.
Jelly spoons?
Yeah, that's right.
That Arcane's makes this late. Show sounds so young and cool.
It does. We're the oldest, lamest, young hip show ever.
On WEEI.
We'll always look at how do we best, evaluate our roster and make the small tweaks that maybe can put you over the top. You know, obviously, you know, we're in an interesting situation because I think, you know, again, we're 48 minutes away from, you know, doing our pregame shoot around press conference today, right? Like in the finals. So there was a lot that went right. And we can't lose sight of that. But we also, you know, are always going to be thinking about how to best move it forward and, you know, pursue what we're all trying to pursue.
I don't know about you, Megan, but that was my least favorite answer from Brad Stevens. And I didn't really like any of his answers, but that was my least favorite one. That was the one that kind of hit me. I was resigned to the fate of what I think this offseason is going to be, which is not much of anything. I think this offseason is going to be small, like you said, you know, small tweaks, things on the margins, little things to try and improve. And it's Arcand and Mego. And by the way, we are coming to you live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, which is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. They're celebrating Truck Month featuring F-Series, America's best-selling trucks for 46 years. Get great deals on trucks in stock and ready for immediate delivery. You ever had a car delivered to you?
No.
Me neither.
You ever get a car You ever get a car on Christmas with a big bow on it?
I never have. Every car I've ever had, I stole. That's not true. But
let's move along.
I've never seen that ever happen before. I don't think that ever really happened.
Yeah. I don't know anyone. No. I haven't had that.
Even like rich people don't do that, you know? Like,
yes, they do.
I think they
do it for their kids for graduation or like sweet 16 or something.
They put a bow on a car and drive
up
the street. Really?
In the driveway? It's got to happen.
Maybe.
If it happened to you, give us a call.
Don't, actually. 779-7937.
Tell us what kind of car it was.
Brad Stevens, small roster tweaks. Is that what this team needs? More small roster tweaks? I feel like they've been doing small roster tweaks for years, and it's been largely the same result. And well, I feel like there were tweaks last year from a team that was in the championship. They tweaked that team, and I thought made it better, and they come up shorter than they did last year.
Yeah, and that's, well, to me, that's where I go. I'm not sure that the players are the biggest problem. And as I thought about that specific quote more, as the day, basically after we finished our show and I was thinking about Brad's whole tone and some of the things that he said, that one jumped out to me because I thought it was so in line with that quote that we got from Joe Mazzulla after, I think it was it game three? Against the Heat.
When which quote was it?
He went back and forth with Gary Washburn. And Gary Washburn was asking him about the horrible third quarter that the Celtics had.
Right.
And he said, well, we played three good quarters.
Yep.
We had one bad quarter. And Gary Washburn said, that's the quarter that mattered, though.
Right.
That's where you lost it. And I hear Brad Stevens say, we're 48 minutes away from being in the finals. And it's like, yeah, but those were the 48 minutes that matter, Brad. That's game seven. That's an elimination game. And so there's this pervasive mentality in the organization right now that we're close. We're really close. If we just do a little bit, we're basically already there. And it's like, No, in these critical moments, you're not having success, and it worries me to hear it from the coach and then to hear it from the president of basketball operations, because that tells me that they're in step with that mentality with each other.
Yeah. It sounds like, honestly, it sounds like the Bruins in the Sinden days when they were just happy to make the playoffs and they're happy to be there and that's all that mattered, and let's get that playoff revenue and let's get those gates and, you know, let's get that all-star game MVP and let's get those all-NBA awards. And, hey, you know, we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals again. You're 1-4 in the Eastern Conference Finals, by the way. Is that something you're really proud of? You make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and you lose almost every single year. Like, that's – people always say, well, a lot of teams would kill to be in the Celtics position. The teams killed to be in the Buffalo Bills position when they lost 4 Super Bowls in a row. Like, they made it to 4 Super Bowls, but they got branded as the biggest losers of all time because they lost every single time. Like, this, just getting there every single year and losing is not impressive to me, and it shouldn't be impressive to any Celtics fans of any age. Like, that's, I'm sorry, that's not good enough.
And that's
where
I think...
We played harder than them in the first half, and then they outplayed us for one quarter.
Okay, yeah, great.
One quarter, 48 minutes. We were so close. Well,
shouldn't you win a
there.
Game if you win 3 of the 4 quarters that you're playing in? Like, on paper, you'd go, oh, well, they won the game then if they only lost one quarter.
Yeah.
Well, the point is they had the lapse in focus for one quarter.
I heard they let go of the rope.
Yes.
But
either water skiing or tug of war rope, we never really, didn't know where that landed, but yes. Go ahead, Meg.
No, I lost what I was going to say.
Well,
I was thinking about the rope.
Let me just say this. If you're sticking with Joe Mazzulla, and it seems like they are, if you're sticking with Joe Mazzulla and his philosophy and the three-pointers and all that other stuff, how could you possibly bring Marcus Smart back? Marcus Smart is a career 32% three-point shooter, and you want to make this whole offense about shooting threes. Why is Marcus Smart coming back? He wasn't All-NBA this year, or All-Defense this year. I don't even think he got that many votes for Defensive Player of the Year, and he wasn't either of the first two teams. One of his teammates was, but he wasn't, and he had another poor shooting year from three-point range. If this team's all about three-point shooting, how can you only make small little things on the margins there, Brad? You have to make if this is what you're going to do, if this is what you're going to stick with, if it's going to be, you know, three-point shooting and Joe Mazzulla ball, Marcus Smart has to go. I mean, that should be an easy one right there, but he's not talking in those terms.
So you would have Marcus Smart be more of a very traditional point guard, which we saw him do at times in 2022 to success, but...
Before he got hurt, yeah.
But then, I don't know. I guess who else would you have running point if it's not Marcus Smart?
Derek White.
Okay.
Malcolm Brogdon, if you stay, you know?
Brogdon, to me, is a piece who can go. I mean, he's just the.
It's hard to move, though. He's making a lot of money.
I know. Yeah. But there's a reason that he was available, and now we've seen it.
Would you consider more of the offense running through Tatum instead of, you know, trying to set up isolation for him, have Tatum really predominantly be the guy that's bringing the ball up if we're so ready to move on from Marcus Smart?
Sure. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with bringing in another point guard who's maybe not as good defensively, but who can shoot better. I'm fine with that too. And also Robert Williams, bye-bye. I mean, if this is what we're doing, if this is how it's going to go, if it's Joe Mazzulla ball from here on out, what role does Robert Williams have in that? If this is who you're going to commit to, Brad, you know, we all make choices here. If this is what you're choosing to do and the way you're choosing to go, unless they're going to bring back Joe Mazzulla and then try and completely reprogram the guy, which, let me just say, I don't think is fair to Joe Mazzulla. I don't think any of this is really fair to him, you know, to sort of push him out there when he clearly wasn't ready and have him run this team. And now you're trying to completely reformat his whole hard drive. Like, if you want to do that, just bring in a new coach.
Okay, but Christian, what you're describing, I fear, would be a regression back to the Brad Stevens days in a way.
Maybe.
Because you're basically starting to put together a team that is a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and maybe not super elite at anything. This team glommed onto that defensive identity so strongly, and you have Derek White hopefully coming back, who is an all-NBA defensive player, and you have Marcus Smart, who was a DPOY. You have Rob Williams, who, if you can use him strategically in terms of keeping him healthy enough, mm-hmm. like, he's never going to be healthy.
Right.
But if you can keep him healthy enough to be available, an extremely valuable defensive piece. And so I look at it and I go, do we really want to go back to bringing in a Kemba Walker, a Kyrie Irving type? Like,
yes, classical, bring in a Kyrie Irving type.
No, I mean, like, a classical point guard who is just a turnstile on the defensive end and, like, a total liability. I start to think that when you're making moves like that, you really start to lose your sense of what this team can do well.
I suppose, but I mean, there's Patrick Beverley is a good defensive point guard who's a better shooter than Marcus Smart. Right there, boom, solved.
Like, I want that, you know, guy. That's absolutely the guy, Arkan, that I think if you're going to start moving on from some of these pieces, you bring in a fresh voice, a guy who's got a little bite to him, And, you know,
he's
maybe
a lunatic, that guy.
Good. Perfect. I think that's honestly what that team needs, because I'm tired of the head coach going, you know, instead of we played like a-holes, we got to get our heads out of our asses going, I love them. I gave them a hug and told them I love them. Like, it clearly didn't work. So if you're not going to have the coach do it, maybe go get some guys who are fresh to this program, don't have any preconceived notions, and maybe you'll start winning games when you need to start winning games.
I think that if in your, I mean, listen, that's this team won games. It's not like they didn't win games. Their biggest problem to me is what happens in the playoffs with their best players. That's the biggest problem, and that's why I think these players need more than just a new coach, all right? A new coach isn't going to suddenly get Jaylen Brown making free throws and not turning the ball over, and I don't know that a new coach is – Ime Udoka was the coach in the finals when Jason Tatum completely disappeared. Jason Tatum was better in these playoffs with Missoula than he was in the finals last year with Ime Udoka. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that Ime unlocked anything special with him. You do sort of notice that Tatum was the one who had Missoula's back a lot this year. When it comes to Brad Stevens, I don't know. People have a lot of theories about Brad Stevens. Let's go to the phones here. 617-779-7937. We'll start with Nate and Woburn. Nate, what do you think Brad Stevens should do?
I think Brad Stevens should put himself in the head coaching role. Now, hear me out.
If okay, you think about go ahead. This team,
if you think about this team in 2019, when they overachieved, they went to Game 7 against LeBron and the Cavs. Mm-hmm. Brad Stevens was the head coach. He had rookie Jason Tatum. They overachieved. They played great X's and O's basketball. If you think about this team last year, they went to the finals. They brought in Ime.
All right, you're skipping a couple of years there, Nate, just so you know. You're skipping a couple of Brad Stevens years there where he got basically excommunicated out of the head coaching job. But all right, fine.
I know. But his offensive system was still installed last year when they went to the finals, and Ime was that defensive identity guy. He made Marcus Smart the defensive player of the year. They went to the finals with that offensive system, and if you watched the game last night and you watched the Denver Nuggets, they diced up the zone that the Heat were trying to play that worked against the Celtics, and the Celtics just tried to shoot threes against it with no luck at all. And Rob Williams and Al Horford could have diced up that zone by playing that middle role right at the free throw line, pass out of it.
Ah, but that's it, Nate. They're not good passers. They're not good passers like Jokic is. That's the big difference. Jokic is a unique player.
They're not good post players like Jokic is either.
That too, yeah. I mean, they're not post scorers. One of them finishes lobs, and the other one's a long-distance shooter who tries to take the big man out of the paint. Like, that's what they do offensively. They don't do what Jokic does. You think Rob Williams can stand there at the top of the key and make those passes Jokic makes? Are you nuts? I don't think any big man in the league can do that. Most forwards and guards can't make those kind of pass. Jokic is unique, all right? So, I mean, I understand they did carve up the Miami zone. I think Spoelstra will figure out something. I don't know exactly what. I don't know how you defend a team like that, but I think I trust Spoelstra to figure something out.
The big takeaway, if you're looking at what Denver did against Miami versus what the Celtics were unable to do, to me, is when you look at their stars and the way that they play the two-man game. Yeah. I know Aaron Gordon was a huge force in the first quarter, and they were playing that double big lineup that you went away from. But Denver, between Jamal Murray and Jokic, like, they just complement each other so well in a way that it's one or the other all the time, and it's devastating to defenses because you go so hard on one, and boom, like, Jokic just feeds it to Murray, who sinks another devastating three. And
Jokic killed him with his passing in the first half.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, finished with 14 assists. And I'm not saying you should go and get that exact setup, but it is a good argument against what you see from Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, where because they're both wings and they're a little bit redundant in what they do, it's like, okay, it's my turn now. It's your turn now. I'm going to go to the bench and get my rest now. You help out the team now. Okay, now you come in and you lead the team and I'll take my turn on the bench. Is that you don't get the two-man game from Jason and Jaylen ever, ever, ever. I think the last time I saw it was during the 2018 run when Kyrie Irving was injured. That was the last time that I saw any kind of two-man game from those guys.
The last time they ever set a pick for each
exactly.
other.
Exactly. And I don't get that. I don't get it. I don't know if it's just because of the redundancy at the position or, you know, it's just, but it's very compelling when you watch what Denver does versus what Boston did.
Yeah, it certainly is. Eddie is in the car. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are you? Listen, I've been waiting for, not me, talking about you guys waiting. I've been waiting for the Celtics for years, you know. When Ainge was running things, you know, we were right there. And Brad Stevens, he's another one. He brought them to the promised land, but he's an underachiever. And I just don't like what they're telling us right now, because if you look at what they did last year, they went to the finals. And now Brad's going to come back and forget about last year that they went to the finals, and they really should have won the finals last year. And they should have won the finals this year, too, but they didn't. And it's frustrating, because if this team had the right coach pushing the right buttons, you know, I'm tired of basketball the way it's played today. You know, it used to be the inside-out game. These guys could just want to come down and throw up threes. This team lacks discipline. They need a coach so these players can be disciplined and reel them in. You can't let a bunch of wild horses just run wild.
Gotcha, Eddie. Thanks for the call. Can't let the wild horses run wild, man.
I think there's a Rolling Stones song about that.
I believe there is.
Drag them away.
No. The thing that...
Drag coaches away.
Brad Stevens had a bad week. Had a bad week, and it wasn't even just so much the press conference, which
we're
I didn't like.
We're 48 minutes away from doing our pregame shoot-around press conference today.
Well, that's great, Brad. I thought that athletic story made him look really bad. I didn't think, especially when it came to the coaching search and the way he sort of came around on Joe Mazzulla and how all these other coaches were there with Ime Udoka and maybe preached more of that defensive thing and how the players all wanted to stick with that. But Brad Stevens said, no, no, no. I'm going with my protege. Forget continuity. I'm going to take this guy from the second row, and I'm going to pull him up here because I like him, and forget Ime Udoka. I wonder, there was a little thing with Brad and Ime when Ime first got hired. You remember that? When he was the first introductory press conference, and Ime was like, well, we were 27th in assists last year, Brad. We're going to fix that. No offense. And Brad was like, I'm going to get you, buddy. You know, like, and maybe it was just as more to do
talk
with the fact
that
Brad didn't like what Ime did and the transgressions and all of that. And
I don't
said,
like
you know
that
what?
Crosstalk from you, Ime.
I don't want anything to do with this guy, and I don't want any of his coaches taking over, and I don't like anything about him, and we're just moving on to the next era of Celtics basketball or whatever. I don't know, but it seemed like that was something that maybe wasn't a unanimous agreement going on with the team, and now here we are. It's Mazzulla ball going forward, and all the things that made this team so good defensively are really sort of flying out the window. I don't see how you go forward with Rob Williams and Marcus Smart on this team if you're playing Mazzulla ball next year.
Well, it wasn't unanimous. It also wasn't transparent to the players.
Right.
So we heard as the season went on and towards the end of the season, Wick Grosbeck said that he basically got on a conference call with Jason Tatum and with Brad, and they all said, okay, hey, Tatum, we're going to be going with Joe Mazzulla. And Tatum just said, okay, I like Joe Mazzulla. And that was it. And then after that, you find out when Ime is going to interview at the time with the Brooklyn Nets,
right?
Like months later, Marcus Smart at his locker tells reporters, I didn't even know he wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
You know,
that's how they found out about it.
Joe was this interim thing, like the players really didn't seem to know the details of exactly what went down behind the scenes. And I understand that there's a lot of legal reasons that they'll hold up for why they're not being transparent and everything. And it's personal and all of that. But
when are we going to get a report like they made for Bill Clinton? You know, like when are we going to get the star report for Ime Udoka?
I guess if he lies on the stand in some instance, I don't know. It's just, it's so messy. And that comes back to Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
And part of it is he says, you know, oh, 5 days that Joe Mazzulla had to prepare and 5 days and everything. And it's like, well, yeah, but then you had a whole season.
Right. And it didn't seem like a lot of things improved over the course of the season. It seemed like things got worse and unraveled as the season went on. Dan Shaughnessy spoke to Danny Ainge today. Dan talking to Danny. Danny talking to Dan. And there were some quotes in here that were just, I mean, really, really standout quotes that make me wonder how tapped in Danny Ainge still is with this team. His son is still the director of player personnel. Austin Ainge is still the Celtics director of player personnel. Here's some of the answers that he gave when asked about Joe Mazzulla. Danny says, I work for another company now, but I'll defend my friends. I know Joe. I hired Joe 4 or 5 years ago to work in our G League. I still cheer for my friends. I don't think the team quit on Joe. There was pretty good evidence that they did not quit on Joe. I just think they weren't playing well. The team's overall confidence struggled after the comeback wins against Philly, which was really the highlight of the season. Now, real quick, why would your confidence struggle after two comeback wins? You know, after you're down 3-2 and then Jason Tatum in particular has this amazing fourth quarter and then this amazing game 7, and all of a sudden you lose confidence?
It's so strange.
How does that happen?
You're going in to play the 8th seed
right.
in the Eastern Conference Finals where you've been so often,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have confidence? It's bizarre.
Ainge went on. No coach can go through a series and not make mistakes. Thanks, Danny. Just like players make mistakes, but we saw some patterns of isolation basketball and going through stretches of not making threes. That's not just with this group. We see it throughout the NBA. Teams go on long three-point droughts, blah, 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 blah. Energy's higher when they make shots. Celtics are not unique in that aspect. I understand something's got to change, but knowing every one of the players like I do, it's hard to identify. They need to do some imaging. You've got to find out what went wrong, and no one is certain if they're not there every day. If you asked a player or each coach, they would all have a different reason, and it's Brad's job to find out what needs to be changed. This team found joy. Okay, Ted Lasso. They were inconsistent, but they were rooting for each other. They were all defending Joe to the media. Did you maybe miss Marcus Smart's little speech that he had about Joe Mazzulla and how all the people ripping him were doing it rightfully so? Was he defending Joe to the media? Like, what are you talking about?
Was Jaylen Brown defending Joe Mazzulla's approach when every other game in his media availability, he's talking about defense, defense, defense?
Yeah.
And essentially in the same game, Ryan, I think you pointed this out yesterday, in the same post-game conferences, while Joe Mazzulla is talking about emphasis on three-pointers, Jaylen Brown, who hadn't even dressed for that game, was like, yeah, the guys took too many three-pointers.
It's staggering. Like, one of your top players is not, you know, marching to the same beat that your coach is trying to put out. And I just keep coming back to, because you guys think, oh, it's strange that, you know, they didn't have confidence in themselves after, you know, having their back to the wall and winning two elimination games against the Sixers. It's starting to feel like they knew they were screwed no matter what they did, which is a horrible feeling when you look at this team, that they're just looking around going, this isn't sustainable, guys. This is not who we are. And I think
when's the piano going to fall on our heads?
A lot of that goes back to what was going on, what this show was talking about in early March, going, something is off with this team. We're not sure what it is. Now we're starting to figure it out. And I think we got more to come as far as what went wrong with this team this year.
Here's the doozy of the quote. This one's even more than that one. They were all defending Joe in the media. Okay, Danny, listen to this. You see Joe's toughness and stubbornness, Ainge said. He's a relentless worker. He has a passion to learn. Joe is a leader, and I think this was a difficult situation with high expectations the team had coming in. I don't think there's anybody there that doesn't believe that Joe is a better coach than Ime Udoka. I know that's some interesting grammar and a lot of double negatives. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't believe that Joe is better than Ime Udoka as a coach. Megan, how true do you think that statement is?
Did he take a survey of the locker room? Like, seriously, when I read this morning, I was like, come on.
I feel like this team has been pining for Ime Udoka the entire year.
Yeah.
Like, who are you talking about?
So is he talking about basketball operations people?
Maybe.
Is he just talking about Brad and basketball operations people?
He said, I don't think there's anybody there.
The locker room feels radically different in the way that they've described him, the way that fantastic athletic report detailed what was happening behind the scenes throughout the season. It seemed they told us themselves, like during the All-Star break, when Joe Mazzulla was named an All-Star coach.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum sitting at his locker saying Ime Udoka is like the best coach I ever had.
Greatest guy in the world. You know, just a wild take there from Danny Ainge. But you know what? Again, he's more tapped in than we are. So maybe we're missing something here, but that was, not anyone there that doesn't believe that Joe's a better coach than Ime Udoka. Okay, I feel like I heard differently this season, but I'll take your word for it there, Danny. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls after we do the triple play coming at 3:45. Triple 45, as Jones likes to say, a fill-in-the-blank Friday next.
From the Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI, New England's sports original.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's going to be a triple play.
It's time for the triple play.
Yes! Triple play!
The top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three!
With Jones and Mego.
Triples is best. Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triples are best indeed. It is time for the triple play, but since I'm sitting in the one chair today, it's a fill-in-the-blank Friday, and Ryan's going to read us the fill-in-the-blank. So, Ryan, let's fill in some blanks.
I'm going to fill in for the fill-in guy. We're going to start with fill-in-the-blank.
Number one.
And it has to do with Memphis Grizzlies star Ja Morant, who's going through all kinds of issues, is currently being investigated by the NBA and Adam Silver. So your first fill-in-the-blank on this fill-in-the-blank Friday, Ja Morant's punishment should be blank.
All right, I'll go ahead and take this one to start here. First of all, the commissioner had some very ominous words for Ja Morant when he basically said, some new stuff has come out in our investigation, and we're not going to say what the punishment's going to be, but we're going to say it after the finals are over because we don't want this to take away from what's happening in the NBA finals. That, to me, sounds like a season, at least. At least one season. And at worst, you know, Mitchell Wiggins out of the game until suspended indefinitely, that sort of thing. Or maybe just, you know, kicked out of the league altogether, which I got to say, I mean, there's been other instances of, you know, players. A lot of times it was drugs that guys got kicked out of the league for. But this, I mean, this would be new. And for a player of his stature and a player of his, you know, abilities and everything else, and really a player that I think the league's made a major investment in terms of being a face of, like, the younger generation, this is going to set that back a lot. And I think at the very least, that the punishment, if you want to, you know, sort of compound it from what happened the last time, I think it's got to at least be one season.
Yeah, it feels at least that way. I just wrote in Ja Morant's punishment should be suspenseful, because I thought last night when the commissioner dropped this, my immediate reaction was, okay, there must be a story dropping soon.
Right.
Somebody must have the information and they're going to break it. So the league is getting ahead of this, saying we're not going to say, you know, what our reaction to these new details are. But now we haven't gotten any new information. So I thought that was a little bit strange, unless, unfortunately, there's some kind of, you know, legal tie-up or something where there's someone who's actually victimized by the situation and they're saying, you know, out of respect to this or that. It feels very dark for a player who the league definitely was hanging a lot of potential on.
Yeah, dark, sort of ominous stuff. He only got 8 games for the first, the thing that happened in Denver when he was a shotgun Willies with a gun out. He got 8 games for that. So maybe a full season is too much of a step up from 8 games. But he also had that thing with the teenager at his house. Remember, yeah, his kid said he beat him up at his house in the middle of like a pickup game. And now he's got this other thing where, you know, you got told pretty clearly in no uncertain terms, don't do this again. And you're on Instagram Live with your friend pulling guns at again, you know, which, again, is not against the law. But you got to be smarter than that, and you have to follow the rules. I'm sorry. And there's rules in the NBA about this. So, yeah, I think you might get a season. Let's get to our second fill-in-the-blank.
Number two.
The Stanley Cup Finals begin tonight, and I'm sure a lot of Bruins fans are going to want to skip this one because it will hurt more if the blank win the Stanley Cup. Mega, let's start with you.
I said obviously if the Golden Knights win, because that's your ex-coach. That's the coach that the young guys on your team wanted to get rid of. They brought in their buddy coach in Monty, and in the end, it didn't work out for them. So now Golden Knights are in the final with Butchie, and if Butchie wins, it's the ultimate revenge for him. And also, the Panthers being there, the team that you lost to in an embarrassing fashion in the first round, at least if they win, there's some kind of redemption for you.
Right.
Like, you lost to the very best team in the end. So that at least redeems you a little bit. If Butchie can beat them and you couldn't beat them in the first round, then it just looks doubly bad.
Yeah, it does. But to me, it'll hurt more if Florida wins, because if you could have beat them in any one of the 3 chances that you had this pass to the Stanley Cup final, and then to beat Butch Cassidy and Bruce Cassidy would have been you. That would have been you. You would have beaten Bruce. That, I think, is more hurtful to me. And
it's hurtful to me because we would have that great content.
That's true. Everything hurts.
It hurts
Everything
me.
About this hurts.
It offends me personally.
Yeah. I also feel like when Bruce was here, he basically had the same team. You know, I mean, he was here with the same team, and they got smoked in the playoffs by Carolina. They didn't have some amazing regular season. So maybe there was sort of something there, you know. Maybe there was something about this team and these players that just didn't work anymore with Bruce Cassidy. Sometimes that happens. They won a cup with Claude Julien, and they tuned him out. So, I mean, those things happen in hockey sometimes. But if Florida goes on to win and you know that could have been you, ooh, I don't know if I'll ever get over that. All right, let's get to the third one.
Number three.
big news in the sports media world dealing with Shannon Sharp, who I personally have always been a pretty big fan of. All reports seem to indicate that Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless, their show on Fox Sports 1, is over. Shannon Sharp leaving his show with Skip Bayless is a blank move. Arcand.
All right. I don't know what he's doing next, but I think that this is a good move for him ultimately. I think that right now, and the only reason I say that is because of what Skip Bayless is rumored to have been saying in the aftermath, which is, whoever replaces him, I don't want to challenge me ever. That's the type of show that Skip Bayless and Adam Jones really wants.
Stop it. Adam loves a challenge.
I'm just kidding. But it is what Skip Bayless wants. And if that's what he wants and that's the way he's going to keep running the show, he already, with the DeMar Hamlin thing, I think turned a lot of people off. And I don't know how many people were still tuning into that show, honestly. I mean, I'm not really sure.
I mean, you've got Shannon Sharp, who was, you know, longtime player, very bombastic personality, with Skip Bayless, who, sorry, no offense, Skip, but I wouldn't say has been overly relevant for like a decade. They're easily the number two debate show in that time.
I don't know. He makes really cool videos on social media. Are you filming, honey? I'm going to walk in with my jersey to throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
I wrote that it was a predictable move. I mean, look, he ostracizes all of his co-hosts, and it just seems like, who wants that job at this point? You know, I guess the contract would have enough money, but you know you're not long for that role. And if nobody's supposed to challenge him, what kind of debate show is that?
Yeah, why would anyone want to see that? The best part of that show is when Sharp would be yelling at him or when they'd go at each other or whatever. I mean, that was usually when it worked. I think they should replace Shannon Sharp with, like, an insult comic. You know, like whoever.
Like
you know?
Triumph from Conan?
Yeah, Triumph the insult comic dog. Jim Norton, you know, like somebody like that. Bring in someone who's just going to rip on Skip for being a weird old guy, like, 24-7. That would be great. I would watch that show if that's what they do. But they're not going to. They're going to bring in, you know, Max Kellerman or something, and he's going to sit there and go, oh, wow, Skip, that was a crazy take you just had. And it's going to suck. And good for Shannon Sharp on the greener pasture.
You know what I would watch, though?
What?
If it was Skip Bayless and JJ Redick. Come on. That would
just
be
JJ Redick constantly reminding Skip Bayless that he never played the game of basketball. Yeah. Therefore, all of his opinions are invalid.
Skip Bayless would eat
what
that guy
now.
Alive.
That would be so funny.
Yeah, it would be funny. All right, there you go. That is the Triple Play, a fill in the blank Friday here on this scorching hot Friday afternoon. 617-779-7937. There is your phone number. When we come back, we'll get to your phone calls, as a lot of you have been waiting patiently now on several different topics. And also, we've got to get to the New England Patriots and the latest on DeAndre Hopkins, which I feel like we didn't even get to. Diana Rossini had a whole thing. Seems like the Patriots are very interested. Tom Curran had a lot to say about that as well. We'll get to all of that. And Meg Splaining coming up next hour right after this.
WEEI, WEEI, New England Sports Original.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.